Adi Astodhyasat Shishimat Chila Bhakti Vedanta
Swami Prabhupada, and the same unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipable Shikshavita. Om Vishnu Pada Astodhyasat Shishimat Chila Bhakti Vedanta Nayan Goswami Maharaj, to all of our disciples in session and all the assembled devotees. So we're very fortunate to be here on the bank of the Jamuna in this most auspicious Gopinath Bhavan, which was, I just heard from Gopinath Prabhu, Srila Gurudev's own choice of location in Vrindavan to build this spiritual community and temple for their Lordship, Srila Gopinath. So tonight we'll begin, and if Prabhupada and Gurudev and Krishna desire, continue our course on Sri Jiva Dharma, beginning with chapter 14. Why have we chosen this subject? The reason is that last year we did a course in Vrindavan on Jiva Dharma for the Center for Vedic Studies, which is an online educational system where devotees from around the world log on and take a course, and they get test questions, and then they get, if they're registered, they get some certificates. And they can also, they used to call up at the end of the class from around the world, from America and other places, and ask questions. So now we're continuing that. Last year we got up to chapter 13, which is a very, very important chapter, which Gurudev wants us to know thoroughly, and which he calls on devotees around the world to stand up and explain. That is Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Dasmul Shiksha. Dasmul means the 10 truths. All truths are included within this Dasmul. And Srila Gurudev calls it an ocean within a jar. An ocean of knowledge within a jar. There's one prameya, or that which is evidence. The evidential literary work. And then there's nine pramans, or the evidence itself, the truth themselves. So the prameya, that which embodies the nine evidences, are those Vedic literatures that are coming down through our disciplic succession and accepted by our disciplic succession. Vedic literatures and their corollaries, like Srimad Bhagavatam, the Goswami's literatures, Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Upanishads, the Puranas, which are accepted by our Guru Parampara. Why is that stipulation there? Because there are different kinds of scriptures for different classes of persons. Some are for those in the mode of ignorance, some are for those in the mode of passion, some of the modes are in the modes of goodness, some are for ordinary people, some are for those who want to come to the platform of pure devotion. So those Vedic literatures, which are coming down and accepted by our disciplic succession and their corollaries, are accepted as the prameya, for the embodiment of evidence of what is truth. And then there are 9 truths called praman, or evidences. The first, so this is a preview or introduction to chapter 14, so you understand where chapter 14 is placed within this Dasmo Sutra. So the first is that Lord Hari alone is the supreme absolute truth. Number 2, he is the possessor of unlimited potencies, shaktis, powers, energies. So there's 2 ways that I can number them. We can go, number 1 is the prameya, or the embodiment of the evidence. And then number 2 is sort of the first truth. But I think it will be easier to hear it by starting from 1, the first truth, the second truth, the third truth. So that's what we'll do now. The first is that Sri Hari, or in other words, Bhujanyananda and Shyamasundara, is the one and only absolute truth. The second truth, or evidence, praman, is that he possesses unlimited powers. The third is he is Akhila Rasamrita Sindhu. That means that he is the reservoir of all relationships. All the relationships in this world are shadow reflections of the relationships that all, not only living entities, but also all of the incarnations have with him. As we were discussing yesterday, on Baladev Purnima, Gurudev was explaining how Baladev, who was the first expansion of Lord Krishna, Hari, and the source of innumerable other incarnations, wants to serve Krishna in different ways. So he takes the form of Mahavishnu, takes the form of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Kiridakshaya Vishnu, to create the material world, to enter the hearts of the living entities and guide them, give them punishments, all as part of his service to Krishna. So that's number 3, or you could call it 4 of the 10 dasmas. So then number 4 is that the living entities are manifestations of Krishna's Divinamsa Tattva. He has 2 tattvas, 2 specific shaktis. One is Svanta, and one is Divinamsa. The Svanta expansion, we'll call them expansions, because the word tattva is used in so many different ways. And Shakti is used in so many ways, as is expansions, but I think expansions is the clearest for this. So we have different kinds of expansions, Svanta and Vivinamsa in particular. Svanta are the plenary expansions. I hope you're getting prepared for an hour of technical talk. It's important to know, Gurudev said we can't skip it, jump over it, jump into the pastime. He said either we have to know it now, the Siddhanta, or we'll have to know it after so many lives, so we'll have to know it. And that helps us to understand the pastime. And the pastimes also help us to understand the tattva, as we'll see as we discuss further. So Svanta incarnations, plus if you know it, then Gurudev can throw out the term and you know the depth of what he's saying. Otherwise he may mention 15 terms in his class and you don't know what they mean and then you're lost. as to what he's trying to say. So svanta, are the plenary portions of the Lord, or portions of his plenary portions, the incarnations, and they manifest from the spiritual world. They are direct manifestations of his Swarup Shakti, his complete internal potency. Then the Vivananta, Tattva or expansion, are the living entities. We, the living entities, although we're atomic part and particle of that Swarup Shakti, we don't emanate from the spiritual world. As you know, we emanate from the Tattva Shakti, which is an atomic part, a very infinitesimal part of the Swarup Shakti, and it's classified as its own, in its own category. So both the Svanta and the both the Mukta, or the liberated souls, and the conditioned souls, the Bodhidevas, are his eternal separated parts and parcels. That's the fourth of the Dasmal Shiksha. Okay? Got that? Who can say what they are? That was a surprise, wasn't it? Can anybody say what number one is? Because all the rest of the chapters in this section two, at least most, are all expansions of these particular one-line statements. For example, the chapter that we'll be discussing at length is beginning chapter 14. Chapter 14 is all about Shakti Tattva. And what is the, what number is that? That Krishna has unlimited Shaktis or powers or energies. Number two. And number one? Number one is discussed in later on in this 12th chapter. What is it? Hari or Krishna or Vajendra Nandan is the only absolute truth. Good. And number two is he possesses what? No. Number two, Shampu, would you say it? Anika? Right, unlimited Shaktis or powers. And number three, which was the most recent one we said? What? Akila Rasamrita Sindhu, what does that mean? Loudly? He's the ocean of relationships, of mellow or relationships. Number four is what? The Bodhijivas and Muktijivas are the conditioned souls and liberated souls, are all his separated parts and parcels. Not his plenary. The Svanthas are his plenary parts. They're full. They can never become Vada. So, this fourth one, called Vivananta Tattva, is that both the liberated jivas and the conditioned jivas are Krishna's separated parts and parcels. And the next, number five, is that the conditioned souls are covered by Maya. And six, the liberated souls are free from Maya. So four, five, and six, or five, six, and seven, depending on how you're looking at it, more than 10 Hare Krishna. Are easy to remember because they come in a group. And what is 4, 5, and 6? The Mukta Jivas and the conditioned souls are? Huh? His eternally separated parts and parcels. And then, number 5. Let's break them into 2. The conditioned soul, covered by Maya. And number 6, the liberated souls are free from Maya. Very good. And then, the 7th one is Achintya Beda Betatva. That is, this entire universe and also all the living entities, that is, this material universe is inert. It's dull matter. Everything is dull matter. And the conscious living entity, or in other words, the sentient and the non-sentient, they are both its manifestations, which are simultaneously one with him and different from him. I'll repeat that. Both the cosmic manifestation, the whole material manifestation, consisting of millions of universes, are, and the conscious or sentient living entities, are both Krishna's manifestations. They have no independent existence from Krishna. So if anything goes right or wrong, it's all ultimately Krishna is the cause of all causes. So the material manifestation and the sentient living entities are both manifestations of Krishna, simultaneously one with him and different from him. How they're different from him and one with him, we'll find out in the later chapters. As I mentioned, chapter 14, which is our first chapter in the discussion, will be all about Shakti Tattva. What are the different powers of Krishna? And how all these powers are ultimately one, but according to its function, it's called by different names. And the next 3 chapters, chapters 15, 16 and 17 are all about Jiva Tattva. Where we came from, why we're suffering, why Krishna put us in this miserable material world to suffer, and how we get out. So then, the next one is called Shuddha Bhakti. That means pure bhakti is the only sadhana to attain perfection. And priti, or prem, or love of Krishna, is the only perfection. And then Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur concludes by saying, these are the 10 teachings that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught the fortunate jiva. So we're very fortunate to be studying the Jiva Dharma by Srila Gurudev's mercy. Before going on to chapter 14, I'd like to ask you, which is all about what? Shakti Tattva, or the established truth of Krishna's power. So can we review the death move? What is the prameya, not the praman, not the ninth man, but the prameya? What constitutes the body of evidence where you know you can find out reality? And then there are nine realities. So, scriptures, yes. And which scriptures? I'm sorry? The Vedas, you said? Which Vedas? Which Vedic literatures? The Smriti, the Sruti. Which ones? Which are have been accepted by our disciples of succession? Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam is a Smriti because it's not the original Vedic. Explanation or corollary or essence of the Vedas. And number, how do you prefer that we number it? Starting from number one or number two? Starting from number two? Okay. So what's number two? Hari. Hari, or who is Hari? Rajendra Nandan Shamsundar is the absolute truth. And number three? Anything outside of ten is going to be Maya. He has unlimited powers or Shakti. Number four? He's the ocean of transcendental mellows or relationships. He's the one that everybody has a relationship with. And through him, everybody has a relationship with everybody else. Except for those in line of Srila Rupa Goswami, who have their first relationship with Srimati Radhika, who's also Krishna Swarup Shakti. And through her, we have our relationship with Krishna and everybody else. And then number five. The liberated souls and the conditioned souls are what? Can you speak louder so everybody can hear? Sandy, did you hear that? What did she say? And then number six, it's developmental. What? Can you close your book? Number six? Number five is that the conditioned jivas and the liberated souls. So, number six is the conditioned souls, according to that number system. Number six, the conditioned souls are all covered by Maya. And number seven, the natural following, the liberated souls are free from Maya. And number eight, Achintya Veda Veda Tattva, which means what? What simultaneously one and different? The material manifestation, which is inert, the living entities who are sentient, are simultaneously one and different from Krishna. And then number
9. Shuddha Bhakti, which means the only sadhana to reach perfection is pure bhakti. Can you reach the perfection of going back to home, back to Godhead by mixed bhakti? Like bhakti mixed with the desire to enjoy the fruits of my activities? For example? No. Because only pure bhakti, only with a motive to please Krishna, and uninterrupted, then I can reach perfection. And what is that perfection? Prema bhakti, or priti, love for Krishna. And what's interesting about these 10 truths? These are the teachings of Mahaprabhu. This is Gauravani, which Prabhupada, Gauravani Pacharani. And Gauravani Pacharani is also in Śrīla Gurudeva's mantra. And Gauravani Murti is also in Śrīla Saraswati Thakura Prabhupada's mantra. So what is it? These are the teachings of Śrī Caitanya Mahāprabhu to who? To the fortunate jivas. Okay, good. So now I will ask you them again tomorrow. So you'll have time today. And now we're going to begin chapter 14. Most of Jatakarma, actually, if not all, is comprised of discussions between disciples and spiritual masters. Sometimes Jatakarma takes the form of debate between those who are against bhakti and those who are realizing bhakti. And sometimes it takes the form of just inquisitive visitors asking questions to self-realized souls. In all cases, the self-realized souls are giving the answers. Devotees in our Rupa Nuga line. So it's exactly the tattva that we need to hear to advance in Rupa Nuga Bhakti, as Śrīla Gurudeva gave that very beautiful Śrīla Rūpa Goswāmī conference, that we want to understand all of the Siddhanta as it is spoken by the Acharyas in his line, so we can ultimately enter into his pastimes. So, some people say that Jiva Dharma is a novel. It's not really a history, but it's a novel of fictitious personalities who are speaking real truth. But the combination of fiction and truth. When Śrīla Gurudeva heard this, he said, "This is complete nonsense. Whoever said this doesn't know anything about Jiva Dharma or anything about Krishna consciousness. All the personalities are real, true, historical personalities, and they're all associates of Caitanya Mahāprabhu or associates or disciples of the associates of Caitanya Mahāprabhu. For example, Jiva Dharma opens up in chapter 1 with Prem Das Babaji Maharaj speaking with his disciple Sanyasi Thakur, and one day Prem Das Babaji Maharaj took his disciple to meet his own guru, who is Pradyumna Mishra, who we read about in Chaitanya Charitamrita, who is an associate of Chaitanya Mahāprabhu. So, in this particular section of Jiva Dharma, the conversation is taking place between Vrajana and Babaji Maharaj, his spiritual master. Babaji Maharaj has just finished explaining in brief the Dasmo Shiksha and also elaborately number one with all evidential proofs. I think that, at least in my reading, at least half of Jiva Dharma are quotes from other scriptures that the spiritual masters are using to prove what they're telling to their disciples or the those who are against bhakti, who are debating with them. It states in Bhagavad Gita that satisfaction of the mind comes when one of the features of satisfaction of the mind is when one discusses scripture, discusses spiritual topics using scripture as evidence. In the beginning of each chapter, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives us a little scenery, how the disciples feeling about having just heard the wonderful information, where the conversation is taking place so that we can feel at home there. So he writes, "The Venerable Babaji's teaching from the previous night," so now it puts us in a night scene or in a day scene, "made a very deep impression on Vrajanath. And as he contemplated all those instructions, he felt very satisfied. Srila Gurudev said in Badger that you're hearing my class. If after class you discuss the topics, think about and discuss the topics among yourselves, what I'm telling you now, then it will go into your heart. But if after class you just start thinking about something else and talking about something else, then it will evaporate into the air." Pretty scary. You know, after you've spent all that money on the plane ticket and driving up that windy, steep, dangerous hill, and then it evaporates. You start thinking of something else after class. So he's contemplating, he's thinking, "Oh, how extraordinary and unparalleled are Sri Gauranga's teachings. Just hearing them, I feel it thrust within the waves of the ocean of nectar." This is a real hero. Very fast. And earlier in the book, Srila Gurudev said that Sannyasi Thakur is inquiring from Premdas Babaji. He said, "Oh Gurudev, if you think I'm qualified, then please explain to me, because I really want to know this subject." And Gurudev said, "To know means I want to realize it. I'm not satisfied with just theoretically hearing something and remembering something." So generally, when these disciples are hearing something from their spiritual master, it's entering the heart, and they're realizing something, and then they ask the next question to realize. As you may know, Gurudev jokes with me and calls me Question Rani, because I'm always asking questions. And one time, when I was asking a question, he didn't want to answer it. So I said, "But you used to always ask questions to your Gurudev." He said, "Yes, but my questions weren't like your questions. They were what came in." I can't realize. Now that you just ask a question and then you forget that one and then ask your next question.
He said, the more I hear, the more thirsty and eager I become to hear. It appears that condensed nectar and my heart, condensed nectar of all the shastras, of all tattvas, streams from Babaji Maharaj's lotus mouth, and my heart never becomes satiated by hearing. So we're reading about this because Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur wants to help us understand the goal of the hearer so that we can pray. We sing our songs from our songbook and we chant Hare Krishna. So these are all mantras and songs of prayer. So we can add this. When will I hear like the personalities in Jiva Dharma? Add that as a PS to our song. So now he's meeting him again. He's walking to meet his spiritual master, that is Radhanath Das Babaji Maharaj. So in all of our discussions in the next days, it's going to be, who's the disciple? Radhanath is the disciple, and the spiritual master is Radhanath Das Babaji Maharaj. So he's thinking and he's walking. And as he's thinking, he reaches Raghunath Das Babaji's Bhajan Kutir. Bhajan Kutir means not quite like Gurudev, which is all made of cement and plaster and metal. But his Bhajan Kutir, of course Gurudev has lots of Bhajan Kutirs because he's in lots of different universes with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his associates. Raghunath Das Babaji's Bhajan Kutir is just a thatched hut made of leaves and straw, mud, in Navadvip, in Gojum tree. So first he offered his obeisances to the Kutir. Like sometimes in the morning we just offer obeisances to Srila Gurudev's room. And then when he saw his Gurudev, he offered his obeisances to him. Then with great enthusiasm, Rajanath asked, say what you told me yesterday, it was so thrilling. And now I'm asking you to explain the next of the Dakmo Shiksha. So Babaji became very happy for the expression of his disciple, and I'll read the verse that he said in Sanskrit as the reply. Although Sri Bhagavan is non-different from his inconceivable transcendental potency, which is called Para Shakti. Krishna's Para Tattva. That means he is a Dvayagyan Para Tattva. Means he's the absolute truth. Undivided, one without a second, absolute truth. Transcendental truth. So the Para Shakti is different. That's his complete transcendental energy. Although he's not different from his inconceivable transcendental energy, he has his own independent nature and desire. That is, he hasn't become merged with his energy. Just like our Srila Prabhupada gave an example. If you take a piece of paper, regular piece of paper, and you rip it into so many little pieces and you go throw it all over, the original paper is lost. But with Krishna, even though he's expanded into so many incarnations, so many worlds, and so many energies, still he is the complete balance. Still he's an individual with his own desires. And he's independent. This Parashakti has three aspects. The first one is the Chit Shakti. Now, as we go along, you're going to find that some of these terms are homonyms. Do you know what a homonym is? That's an English word. Homonym means it's one word that has different meanings or applications at different times. Like, for example, Ram loves Sita. And the other one is, Ram, you were really in my last night. It's two different Rams, the same word. One is just a regular guy, Indian guy probably, his name is Ram. And the other is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, if you get confused, if I don't